So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Rob Tarkoff, who is President and CEO of Lithium. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Hey, good, Adrian. How are you?
I am splendid, sir. I'm splendid. So, Rob, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about the work that you do at Lithium?
Sure. I'm the President and CEO of Lithium Technologies. We are a digital customer experience platform company. And we provide technology that both powers the world's largest online communities for many of the top brands that you've heard of, as well as social customer care and publishing. So we try to bring together the social digital channels and community and website interaction between customers and brands, and try to help companies provide a better customer experience solution for both servicing customers and helping them find and discover new products.
Perfect. Now, one of the things that kind of brought us together is this idea that, the fact that you've just recently published a new report called The State of Social Engagement 2017. And I'm really interested in that sort of whole space and the whole engagement sort of space. But it'd be useful before diving into some of it is if you can give me a bit of background on the report, how long it's been around, and also can give us a view of kind of what some of the headline findings are.
Absolutely. So the State of Social Engagement report was really designed to start out with a few facts that we knew, you know, the fact that the world is digital first and hyper-connected and most brands are struggling with digital transformation, and actually try to put some data behind the struggle,
right,
if you will. So we looked at, and we did this study of 70 global brands across various industries, and the real question we were trying to figure out is, how many brands on a self-reported basis think they're getting it right?
Right.
And the key was they're not. Not surprisingly for most brands across digital. They know they need a strong presence. They just don't know how to implement it. Most of them, in fact, almost all of them, are still thinking about digital as a broadcast mechanism where you push information out rather than use it as a new medium for a new type of engagement with customers, so that they're not fully utilizing social channels and own digital properties and chat and messaging and all the things today that enable a more engaging experience across digital. And in fact, only 1% of them think that they're actually developing a meaningful relationship with the most important people to their company, and that's the advocates and influencers out in the customer base.
Right.
And I think if you think about that and how long digital and social has been around and the advent of messaging platforms and social media as the medium through which most people get their information about brands, it's kind of shocking that the transformation is not happening faster, and I have a lot of thoughts about why that is.
Okay, I mean, what's the main kind of problem? You sort of alluded to that they're still predominantly using it as broadcast. I mean, is it? But there's other research that supports this idea that companies are getting the idea that customer experience is really important, and they're competing on that, but yet they're just still talking at customers in large part. I mean, what's the struggle? Is it just that the shift is slower than they'd like it to be, or what's going on here?
So I think you have a perfect storm of change management factors.
Okay.
First, you have a major technology shift that's happening where the traditional ways in which most executives were trained on how to interact are rapidly going away. Think call center technology, think about broadcast marketing means, think about how marketers and customer service professionals are trained to support their customers. That whole technology foundation is rapidly transforming and everyone's trying to catch up. That's one.
Right.
The second piece is that there's an organizational tornado happening as well. And that organizational tornado is that the way that traditional companies have thought about the role of marketing, sales, service, and support is being challenged significantly by the way customers want to interact with a brand. So the idea that marketing and sales helps you before you buy and support is your go-to organization for after is being challenged by customers who don't want to be siloed into particular departments. They want this ongoing fluid dialogue with a brand across digital channels, and the expertise to do the change management to adapt the organization, that new reality, doesn't exist inside of most companies.
Right. And is that to do with kind of how they're structured, and therefore there's a bigger question kind of here that they actually have to need to change the way that they're organized in order to do it, or is it that to do with more strategy, vision, and leadership?
I think it's both. I think some of the best organizations in the world, well, most of the best organizations in the world today who do this well are digital natives, right? They were, so you think Amazon, they were brought up with this idea that the internet and the new and the ways that customers want to interact with the internet is fundamental to how they design their business. You have a lot of businesses today that aren't that way. They're adapting to internet transformation. So as a part of that adaptation, sometimes they lack the vision, sometimes they lack the structure, sometimes they lack the know-how to really say, how do I bring the customer into the journey of discovering, selecting, buying, and using, enjoying products in a way that's different from how I did it 5-10 years ago. Okay. And they're so busy trying to keep up with the technology trends that they're forgetting about the business change management imperative.
Right. Okay. So let's kind of like dial it back a little bit, Rob, and actually can let's focus on this kind of the whole idea of engagement, and because, you know, whether it's customer engagement, whether it's employee engagement, or any other sort of type of engagement, I mean, am I right? I mean, I hear lots of different people talking about it, but am I right in saying that there's a large variation around, you know, the understanding of what engagement means across organizations and across people and across different customer groups? Would you agree with that?
I do. I think it's right. I think most companies today link engagement to monetization. They say if you engage your customers, you'll immediately sell them.
Right.
And there's an interim step, which we call enlistment, which is when you engage with your customers, you actually have to enlist some portion of the most valuable of those to act on your behalf, because people want to hear from experts who don't sit within the company. They do want to still hear with experts within the company, but they want that to be balanced across the spectrum of, you know, people who really understand the products that aren't on the payroll of the brand as well as those who are.
Uh-huh.
And they want to take time to validate their choices by finding expertise in the customer base and understanding how those people made their decisions. And I think that's because today, the new generation of buyers, you think most millennials and those come up and represent an increasingly large portion of the purchasing power worldwide, they're much more comfortable discovering and challenging messages that a brand would traditionally publish by finding those who are as knowledgeable as the company themselves about what the company provides.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a different concept of thinking about how do I really engage a customer. It's not just about getting them to click on an ad and shepherding quickly to a purchase process. It's about enabling them to be a self-directed consumer, somebody who discovers, consumes, engages in dialogue, reviews, comments that come from people like themselves or those who are experts on the product.
Yeah. And do you think that their understanding of that is held back by the fact they're still in this, a lot of companies are still largely in this marketing broadcast kind of mode, and they're doing stuff to people, and they're taking a same sort of looking at engagement through the same sort of like filter, i.e. we're going to do engagement to people rather than actually embracing it and having a conversation about it and almost having it, building a two-sided understanding of what engagement should mean and where the value is for both parties?
I think part of it is that. I think part of it too is that the traditional concept on how a brand establishes a following and establishes credibility has changed. There's a great expression that we use today a lot, which is in the digital age of customer experience and digital first, brand is negotiated. It's not declared. You don't say to somebody, this is what my brand represents.
Sure.
You put out content and opportunity to engage in dialogue about what your brand represents. And since every customer's experience, whether that's how they're treated on an airline, how they use the product, videos they produce about the experience of wearing your apparel or clothes or using your financial products, changes that they've made to their own life, those stories are all part of that negotiation process. And so that's change.
Like, yeah.
You now have to think about brand as encompassing that as much as it is about what your brand mission is when you launch a product.
And so what does it take? What sort of steps does it take, do you think, to get that right for many organizations? I mean, if you had to press the reset button, you know, what would be the things that companies should be doing in order to put themselves on the right track in terms of the whole engagement groove?
So the first thing is it has to be a CEO imperative. Regardless of the size of the company, everybody in an organization that wants to get this right has to see digital engagement as an obsession, something that they absolutely have to keep top of mind and always be thinking about. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is that engagement has to get linked more to top-line business impact. So I'll give you a couple examples.
Okay.
GoDaddy, who you may have heard of, the internet domain registrar web hosting company, mm-hmm. they increased revenue by 65% and average order volume by 51% using their community. So that means that those who visited the community spent 65% more and had average order size of 51% more. So they're now linking visits to an engine and a domain that surfaces user-generated content as part of this brand negotiation process, mm-hmm. and they're linking it to financial outcome.
Right.
So that's sort of in the revenue generation. If you think about the customer service side of it, T-Mobile's a great brand. They respond to 20,000 tweets a day. Their average response time is under 3 minutes. So if you tweet to T-Mobile, you should expect within 180 seconds that you're going to get a response back. And they're setting new standards on how to stay engaged in the moment. So when John Ledger in the United States goes out and during the Super Bowl says, switch to T-Mobile and you'll get these benefits, that's a near real-time conversation over social media that is setting a bar that other competitors have to respond to. Microsoft, one of our customers, has achieved over $140 million in savings through call deflection by using its online community. So these are financial metrics are being tied to engagement.
Right.
And once you've established it as an obsession and the CEO is driving it as an imperative, you have to link it to financials. And when that happens, the company starts to get the buy-in of the CFO and the financial team, and then these initiatives can get properly funded.
And so that's kind of fine. I understand the kind of CEO bit, and I understand the kind of tying it to, you know, financial kind of metrics. But I'm really interested in sort of the almost the outside in bit as well. The sort of what's the impact on, is there an observable impact, say within those examples around you develop a very well thought out and executed engagement sort of strategy, and it's driven by the CEO and it has financial impact. But what's the impact on the overall customers' perception around their service, that they, the service and experience that they experience? I mean, is that, did it, are they getting a bump on that as well?
Well, there's several good examples of that. So Comcast is one of those companies in the United States that has notoriously experienced some phone-based customer service crises.
Uh-huh.
And by rotating to become more a digital-first company around customer engagement, they've reduced response times by over 60%, and then their NPS went up 30% year over year.
Wow.
So
okay,
you're seeing that promoter score as companies rotate to this new form of customer engagement, you're seeing that go up. The other thing you're seeing is if you look at companies like FICO in
yep.
financial services, when they directed more of their customers to the MyFICO community to answer questions around credit, the average spend of their customers increased 66%. So customers are spending more, they're promoting more in surveys, their average order value is going up. So these, to me, are all indicators of customer health.
Yeah.
And how digital is transforming the customer experience.
No, that's kind of very cool. I mean, so Rob, if I was to say to you that, you know, somebody's listening into this and they're thinking, I love the sound of all that, get the CEO on board, link it to financial metrics, kind of, in a, you know, it, you'll see the pull through to, or the push through to, and to service and experience metrics like NPS scores and so on and so forth. And they're thinking, I'm liking the sound of that. But then they also delve into the report and they say, well, okay, fine. Now I'm looking for the 1, 2, 3 things I should do to get kind of started on that better kind of track. I mean, is it as simple as get the CEO on board and then start to figure it out? Or is there something, is there other kind of more rudimentary things they should be doing?
No, I mean, to fully implement an end-to-end customer experience-led digital transformation, there's multiple steps. It starts with a commitment of the organization, and it ends with really looking at all of the systems in a company that touch customers and making sure that they're driving 2 or 3 key things. One is, are they encouraging customers to contribute to a conversation around products and services in a way that's sustainable and can grow over time, because that content becomes an asset of the company. I am increasingly seeing companies differentiate from their competitors by using the power of user-generated content that surrounds the product experience.
Right.
So the differentiation between features and functions of a lot of products, be they, you know, devices or services or even more physical items, it's harder to tell. You know, manufacturing, that the efficiencies in manufacturing are pretty well adopted by every major customer, major brand out there.
Uh-huh.
And the result is it's hard to differentiate between, you know, different brands in a lot of instances. There are a few companies like Apple and Google and others who can continue to differentiate on the basis of innovation,
mm-hmm.
but there are others that can't. And so when the return on innovation goes down, the return on customer experience has to be multiplied,
mm-hmm.
because that is going to what separate you. So it's creating content, is engaging users where they are across digital channels and understanding how to do that. For example, using tools like platforms like Facebook Messenger to better engage, or across other messaging services, finding out how customers want to interact across different platforms. Where do they want to resolve problems in line across social networks versus when do they want to have a direct one-to-one conversation on chat or messaging services? All of those are opportunities to create the right content and then engage in the right medium with mm-hmm. the right SLAs, with the right time frame. And all that should lead to repeat purchase, increased wallet share of customers, and more satisfaction. And so the way we often see it done is organizations who map out all the places where customers are interacting, and then compare that to how the organization's designed today, they find there's enormous gaps in their ability to be present.
Right.
And I think being present in all the places is the primary key.
Okay. Can I go back to the which company, which brand was it that was sending out 20,000 messages a day, and it was a wait of about 180 seconds?
That's T-Mobile.
T-Mobile. Yeah, because I heard kind of one of the T-Mobile execs speak when I was at the technology conference in New Orleans a few months ago, and he was talking about some really interesting stuff that they're doing. But the thing that strikes me is that 20,000 sort of messages per day with that sort of lag is, how big a team have they got, or is a lot of that going to be getting automated now as well?
So there's a large team doing it, but because of the advance in tools today around managing workflow and being able to effectively handle volume like that, we provide a tool like that. Many others in the market do as well. We happen to think ours is really good.
Yeah.
But in doing that, it requires less people than traditional customer service operations. So one of the advantages of digital and social today is that it's a one-to-many model as opposed to a one-to-one.
Right.
So, you have the ability to scale in ways that you didn't before. And when you combine that with a place where content is being built from customers that can then be organized and managed and syndicated and channeled into the right vehicles, you've created assets that you didn't have in the past. And knowledge around products and services continues to multiply, and that enables you to scale even further and go from one to many to many to many.
Right.
And when you're servicing customers in a many to many fashion, you've created a real ecosystem around the brand experience. And that's when I think you get the most financial benefit, because your customers, whether they know it or not, are consistently working on your behalf by engaging with others like themselves.
Perfect. Now, Rob, I also kind of heard that you have recently been shopping, if that's right, and they've recently acquired, well, an external online community business called Jive. Saw the news about that. Yeah. So first of all, congratulations on that. Hopefully that's not going to give you too much indigestion. But so tell me, what does that mean for Lithium, and how's that going to affect your ability to drive and improve engagement? I mean, what is the, you're in the community kind of business as well. So what's that going to add to your sort of portfolio?
Yeah. So we're really excited to have this opportunity to really bring together the two leading platforms in online community, because we think this forms a great foundation for all the other initiatives around digital customer experience that the market wants to build off of a community base. So
right.
If you think about the 700 some odd brands now that we have collectively, these are the world's best brands in terms of digital customer experience, and there are many other things that they want to do. So in your spectrum of digitally savvy organizations, these are the most.
Right.
And what I'm really excited about is we're able to harness the innovations of these two platforms into a combined offering that's going to be even stronger moving forward than what the market has today. One of the benefits of what we've done in the market, both Jive and Lithium, is we've been very focused on this segment of social and community and user-generated content as a corporate asset and something that really changes the financial outcome of companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we have other participants in the market who have considered this to be what I would say a less specialized field.
Yes.
And we've always been very focused on that this requires a certain expertise, a certain commitment to the domain, and an end-to-end offering that covers social, community, digital reputation influence. It's tied to our acquisition of companies like Clout in the past. And so we're just really excited to have this opportunity to develop an even better in class offering than we had before. And we felt we did have the best in class offering in the past, but now we're bringing together the two leaders, and I'm just excited about what the roadmap holds for us.
And can you give us any insight into kind of what's kind of next, or where kind of community and engagement is going to go next in your world, or what do you see as the next big sort of horizon in terms of what's the art of the possible?
Well, now that community across these world's best brands has been established as something that organizations understand how to use, how to nurture, how to grow, it's now an engine that can be plugged into so many different applications across a company. So the future of community to us is about finding ways to bring the whole nature of user-generated content, influencers, experts in active dialogue about a brand and plug that into every process inside a company that involves customers. So think about community as a core engine to commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Think about community as an engine to marketing affinity and content marketing. Think about community as an engine for customer service, customer loyalty, all the programs that have previously been disconnected from each other. We think community can be an engine that brings together many of these initiatives across the company and really creates the opportunity to involve customers much more deeply in any part of your business. We have customers today who use community to source product requirements to drive innovation.
Yeah.
We have customers who use it to assist in purchasing. As I talked about, businesses like Sephora find community members spend an average of 2.5 times more than non-members when community is in the purchase path.
Sure.
We have customers that use social media management like T-Mobile and are able to create enormous amounts of content that then can be part of their community, which is then plugged into all the different applications across the customer lifecycle. And so we think it's almost like the next generation CRM.
Yes.
And it's going to replace a lot of traditional CRM thinking. It's a huge disruptive capability, and we are really excited about what we can do over the next 3 to 4 years.
Cool. That sounds interesting. I like the sound of that. It's kind of like the real integration of kind of people and technology, but outside the walls of it's like bringing customers into a company and making it all work together.
And we want to do that in a way that every company today says, if I don't have customers involved in a material way in every part of my process, I can't compete.
Yeah. No, completely.
So we want to be the enabler to do that.
Completely. That sounds very exciting. So, Rob, is there anything that I think we've missed out on the report or this idea of engagement or what companies should be doing that you think we've missed out before I ask you a couple of kind of final kind of questions?
No, I think that the importance of digital engagement, particularly around customer experience, is only going up as we see the unfortunate events unfolding in the United States with the hurricanes and some of the issues that we're facing around, how brands and companies help customers get service. We're hearing great stories about how social media and community and customer-to-customer communication is helping people in a lot of areas. And so my hope is that organizations understand that true digital transformation around customer experience is hard to get right. It's complex.
Sure.
It's hard to scale. But the ROI is significant when you do it right. And over time, and I think this is going to happen much faster than people think, those that can competitively separate themselves on the basis of having something that's truly scalable are going to be the winners.
Yeah.
And our hope is that we can both help our brands have thriving futures so all their employees can continue to have great careers, but also their customers are going to be better off. The products will be better, and the whole state of innovation that these companies have will accelerate because they'll be much closer to their customers in designing products, delivering products, and ultimately helping people enjoy what they need.
Perfect. So, Rob, now my penultimate question is a little bit of a selfish one because it's a piece of ongoing kind of market research I've been conducting because I published a book last year called How to Wow, came out in April of last year with Pearson, and ever since the book was published, I've been asking everybody that I've been interviewing on this kind of podcast is for their take or their perspective on what WOW service or experience means to them. So I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts on that.
So so it was a great book, and we have lots of brands who follow the WOW experience kind of model, delighting customers in a way that dramatically improves loyalty. Mm-hmm. Southwest, one of our customers, has done this by, moments of surprise and delight around customer, prizes and paraphernalia that encourage certain behaviors. Hilton is a great example of a brand that connects with travelers around the world to answer travel questions that any person has tweeted in a very personal way. Spotify does this with their custom playlist. I just think it's a great reminder that brands taking the time to do this is a critical way to separate themselves from the masses in today's environment. And, in last year, Hilton Suggest sent out something like 11,000 responses to travelers around the world, and they had amazing growth on social. So there's just, there's all sorts of examples of it, and those are ones that I find to be really best in class. It increases the level of human connection for these brands, mm-hmm. and it makes them feel very real and authentic, and I think ultimately that's going to be the key trait in the future.
Perfect. So that brings me to my last question, Rob, and which I always ask at the end of these interviews, and the question is this. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Shamelessly plug. Okay, great. it would be a missed opportunity if people have liked the discussion to please reach out to Lithium and let us try to help you map out your digital customer transformation journey. As I said, we are proud of the products that we build. We think we have lots of value to add, but we also consider ourselves general trusted advisors in the category. And so our job is to have the rising tide lift all boats. And we feel if we can help educate people around what they need to do, that will benefit in a way that's commensurate with the amount of innovation and the product expertise that we built. So we look forward to engaging with anyone who has further interest in pursuing this area.
Thank you for that, Rob. So what I'll do is I'll make sure I get all that kind of linked up and give you guys a big shout out when this podcast kind of goes live. But lastly, I just want to say congratulations again on the acquisition and also your success to date. And just thank you once again for your sharing your time and your thoughts and your experience with us today. That's been great.
Thanks a lot. It was great talking to you, Adrian.